appreciate that song, and I'm very thankful this morning that the Lord is there to be our shepherd, to guide us, and to lead us, and to direct us. Thankful this morning that each one of us have access to God. Scripture says that God is not a respecter of persons. And I'm glad that when the Lord looks down on us this morning, that He didn't look down and say, well, you were raised over here, or you were raised in this family, or this part of the country, or you committed some pretty bad sin, or you sure acted up over there. The Lord is not a respecter of persons. And when we come to the Lord, He is there to listen to our needs, and He's there to look down and work in our life. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Burden I have to share this morning is a little more, in a sense, doctrinal than sometimes we take for Sunday morning, but it's what the Lord has just impressed upon me to share this morning. I'd like to begin over in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter, and the message this morning really goes, it's hand in hand with the Bible study that we began Wednesday night. We will continue, Lord willing. But I'd like to speak about prayer this morning. Specifically, prayer language. Do you know how to talk to God this morning? What language do you use to communicate with God? I'd like to turn again over in 1 Kings in the 18th chapter. We'll begin with a very familiar story in the 21st chapter, in the 21st verse rather. Said Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Baal was the sun god. He's an idol. And basically Elijah said, if you believe in Baal, just then follow him. You're not going to be forced to follow the Lord God. We're not forced this morning to live according to God's Word. And I think that the Lord still is saying today, make a choice. Choose who you're going to serve. And that's what Elijah placed before them, a choice. But Elijah wanted them to test and see who was really God. And so he said, let's take two oxen, two bullocks. And he said, let's sacrifice them, let's cut them up and we'll build an altar. And you build an altar to Baal, and I'll build an altar to the God of Israel. And he said, let's pray. And let's call down fire from heaven and let's see which God answers. Let's put the gods to the test. And in verse 24, it said, call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. In other words, let's see where the evidence is. You know, I think we can still put God to the test this morning. Gods of this world, the true God of Israel. Where do we find peace? Where do we find victory? Where do we find deliverance? Put it to the test. Taste and see. So Elijah, they went out and they offered their sacrifices. And it said here, they took the bullock which was given them and they dressed it. And they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. I want you to get in mind a physical picture of what was happening. The prophets of Baal, they had their sacrifice in the altar, and they were saying, Baal, hear us. And there was no response. And so they jumped up on top of the altar. Maybe God will hear me now. They jumped up on top of the altar, but there was no answer. And at noon, Elijah got a little bit ornery. Elijah was kind of poking at him just a little bit. He said, well, cry aloud because he's a God and maybe he's talking. Maybe he's busy right now. Maybe he's pursuing or he's in a journey or peradventure. Maybe he's asleep and you need to wake him up. And so they cried aloud and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them, And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of offering in the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any answer to any that regarded. What do I need to do to communicate with God? Maybe if I pray a little bit louder. Maybe if I take a knife, I can get His attention. And they cut themselves. Do you know that this kind of prayer is, in a sense, is being practiced all over the world in all kinds of religions? Trying to get hold of God. Trying to get His attention. Maybe, and that's where sometimes they, in Nigeria, and many countries do this, but I remember in Nigeria worshiping with some folks, and every time we would pray, they'd have the tambourine. And they'd take it and they'd start to, you know, use the tambourine and get the noise going. And in many places they use the beating of the drums. Many pagan religions use drums. This is a little side note for your information this morning. But in the Old Testament, the worship was very physical, was it not? The burning of incense, the offering of sacrifice, the playing of musical instruments. It was a very physical worship because they did not have the Holy Spirit in which to commune with the Lord in the way that God wanted. And so it was a very physical type of worship. But even with the use of musical instruments, you know what there's a glaring use of in the Old Testament? Absence. A glaring absence of in the Old Testament? Drums. They had little ones that they used to, you know, I forget what you call it. You scrape it, make that noise, and sometimes they beat the end of it, but it was just a little thing they carried. They used stringed instruments. They even had a few tambourines, little handheld small tambourines, but you will not find drums in the use even in the Old Testament church. Drums traditionally have been used. Even in the way back in the time of the Egyptians before Christ, it was used to call on the pagan gods. And today there are many things. What can we do? Can we play a little bit louder? Can we play an instrument or bang on the drum a little bit more? Is that going to get God's attention? Is that the language of prayer this morning that will enable Him to answer? Baal never answered. But I want us to take note how Elijah prayed. In verse 36, as you know the story, he told them, pour water on the sacrifice. They went and poured barrel after barrel of water on the sacrifice. In other words, we're going to really test God and see who's listening. And this is how Elijah prayed. Verse 36, he came near and he said, he didn't cry, he didn't scream, he didn't cut. He didn't jump up and down, but he said, Lord God, of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consume the burnt sacrifice. This morning, how are we going to get God's attention? Have you ever come to the Lord and it's like, Lord, whatever I have to do, I'm desperate for You to understand my language. I want to make connection with You, Lord. Folks, the Lord understands us as He created us. We don't have to cut. We don't have to jump up and down. No, I know sometimes our voices rise because of the emotion. When Jesus prayed, it was in agony. It was an expression of the deepest feelings of His Spirit. And that's okay. But understand that to get God's attention, it is opening up our heart. The Scripture says it this way, to this man will I look. Even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. I am desperate this morning for the Lord to look my way. I'm desperate this morning when we come in prayer. Lord, I want to know that You're hearing me. So what language do I need to speak? How can I communicate with a God that's way up in heaven We can communicate, folks. The Lord understands the language of humility. If you want God to understand your prayers this morning, He understands humility. Do you remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican that went in the temple to pray? In the Pharisee, he looked over at the publican, the sinner man, and he said, "I'm so thankful that I'm not as this man. I fast and I give of my means, I tithe, and I'm so much better." I'm paraphrasing, putting in our language, but I'm so much more righteous than this man over here. In his pride, God did not hear his language. But the Pharisee, he couldn't even hardly lift up his eyes unto heaven, and he smote his breast, and he said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus said, that man went home what? Justified. That man went home justified because God understood that language. When we come to the Lord, it's not that I am so good, I am so righteous, Lord, you know how much I sacrifice for you, but it's, Lord, be merciful to me because without you I am nothing. Lord, would you hear my prayer? Folks, God, your prayers will get through. Our prayers will get through this morning when we humble our hearts before Him. It's not an exhibition. It's not if I can jump over that altar high enough, then maybe the Lord will look down and bless us this morning. No, it's found in the condition of our hearts that, Lord, we're desperate for you to work. There is a very false doctrine that is tied very closely to what we begin teaching on Wednesday nights on the use of praying in tongues. It's important for us to know the language that God understands. It's important. And as we begin to touch on Wednesday night, when the disciples were given the gift of tongues, the Hebrew word there, or the Greek word rather, is glossa. And it means tongue or language. And the Scripture spells out that they were speaking in a language, a foreign language, that people of other countries understood. There's no ambiguity there. There's no question that when they spoke in tongues, that people heard them in their language. And so then there are many today that are practicing what they call a prayer language. Some, they call it a private prayer language. They say speaking in ecstatic utterances in a heavenly language. They say that's not really in order, but when you're praying, there is a language that God understands that nobody else understands. That is a doctrine that has come from the enemy this morning. And I want us to know the language that God understands is the language of humility. It is a language of faith. It is a language of sincerity. But there are those that say, "I pray in an angelic language, and I pray ecstatically." And what they are talking about is praying with sounds coming out of the mouth that don't mean anything to our mind. The Pentecostal movement is full, and different of the churches have different teachings on this practice of praying in tongues or a private prayer language. But I want to say there have been many this morning, many congregations and many denominations that have adopted that practice. You can about name any religion and you will find people that speak and or pray in babble, in confusion, that it bypasses. I've heard instruction on how to pray in tongues. And what they will teach you is that you want to relax and just allow things, open up your mouth and just let whatever comes out, come out, and it bypasses your understanding. Folks, when we pray, Paul said we pray with what? With the understanding. When we sing with the understanding. The Lord is not the author of confusion, but it is sweeping the world for people that practice a private prayer language. And they feel like that I can bypass the intellect and speak a language that the devil doesn't know. Because when we pray in our language, they say the devil knows that. But when, if you can pray in some kind of angelic or spiritual language, the devil won't know it. And so we have more power to defeat the devil. How do we defeat the devil? Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, right? Resist the devil and he will do what? He'll flee from you. There is no angelic spiritual language that God has given to us through His Word for us to pray other than the prayer of faith, the prayer of humility, the prayer of truth, the prayer of truth, and the prayer of sincerity. Truth is not measured this morning by someone's experience. Truth is not measured. I have visited with people and talked with people. They said, I didn't even seek to pray with this jibber-jabber or babble. But I was just praying and it just started. But you understand there are people who say, I couldn't help myself. Yes, there is a spirit involved many times in this kind of practice. Sometimes it's just an emotional thing. And sometimes it is a false spirit. But I want us to know this morning, it is important for us to know what the Bible teaches about it because it's sweeping the land. And there have been those that have sat right where you are sitting this morning that have begun to adopt that practice. It is not from the Lord, and that's why we need to know what the Bible teaches. Because when I come to the Lord and I need God to work, I want to know how to speak. I want to know how to get God's attention, but it's not through the physical words I speak, but it's through the condition of my heart. Lord God, would You prove that You're God? Would You demonstrate Your power? Truth is not measured by experience, but we measure it by the Word of God. So what does the Word of God say about it? I'm thankful that God's ear is not heavy this morning. Still thankful that God is listening. We are taught to pray, and I want to be brief on this. We are taught to pray over in Jude 1:20. We're taught to pray in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. We are taught, and I like us to turn and read over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. You pray for us this morning. Ephesians 6:18. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, pray with diligence. Pray in the Spirit. In other words, praying with the sincerity of your heart. Because folks, the Holy Spirit, if He is dwelling in us, is the temple of God. If the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, I want to be praying in the Spirit, just like I want to walk in the Spirit, just like I want to live in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that I'm praying in some spiritual, exalted, angelic language. But I am praying in the Spirit, just like we are called to live in the Spirit. Living holy. And it takes the Holy Spirit many times to help us to even know what to pray for. And there are times that I have gotten down before the Lord and said, Lord, I don't even know exactly what I need, but I need You to work, Lord. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ Himself is taking my lack of words and my lack of ability, and He's intercessing to the throne of God. When you pray this morning, and you pray with your heart and with your mind, if you begin to pray without your intellect involved, you are not praying to the God of Israel any longer. You understand? Because if I can begin to let moanings and groanings and begin to let jibber-jabber begin to let this something flow out of me, and I don't even know the words I'm speaking, that many people tell you that doesn't matter. The Lord understands. But that is not how we were taught to pray. It's a false spirit. A middle-of-the-road approach to say, well, we don't practice it much, but, you know, maybe some people do. Folks, that is contrary to the Word of God. If we open up our life or open up even the tolerance of a false spirit, you will find there are other false spirits that will come in with it. You will find other. There are many people this morning that speak in tongues, and by that I'm speaking of an ecstatically. What they say is a spiritual language, or they pray in them, and they're living in sin. And at the same time, they're saying the Holy Ghost is upon me, and they're out committing adultery and fornication and getting drunk and cheating and lying and stealing, but yet they say I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit come upon you? Do you pray in tongues? Do you speak in tongues? Understand, the Bible tongues is the ability to speak in a foreign language that other men understand, that other people understand. Well, pray in the Spirit. Pray accordance with the will of God. You remember Elijah prayed earnestly? He prayed earnestly and God heard him. The effectual fervent prayer of what? Of a righteous man does what? It availeth much. That righteously, fervently in the will of God. Many times, and I want us to, if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 8. This scripture is often quoted. We're not getting very far this morning. I should have known that would happen. In Romans in the 8th chapter, in the 26th verse, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Many people that promote that there is a different prayer language of speaking a language of the angels. Y'all understand what I'm talking about this morning? Praying ecstatically, when I go down to pray and all of a sudden, and I will not demonstrate it to you from up here, but to begin to let gibberish flow and open up the mouth and begin to let the syllables come out however they will. I've been in the presence of tongues many places. And I will tell you, some places it was emotion. In other places, I felt a false spirit present. I physically reacted. There have been times that I physically react to the presence of the Holy Spirit at times and also the spirit of the devil. And I have felt and experienced the presence of the enemy through tongues, through the false use of tongues, and they begin to pray with the gibberish, and so they quote this scripture, and they say here that we need to pray. The Spirit is helping our infirmities. Aren't you thankful the Spirit is helping your infirmities this morning? Aren't you thankful this morning that with your weaknesses, the God of Israel, the Creator of the universe, has sent His Spirit to dwell in our heart, to work in my life, to guide me and direct me and intercede for me? It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, there's knowledge. We don't have the knowledge that we should, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings, which cannot be uttered. Do you realize that this scripture, again, it's used frequently to say, pray in the Spirit. Groanings and mutterings and this jibber-jabber that begins to come out, that's the Spirit of God praying for you. That's the Spirit of the Lord that you don't know what to pray for, but if you will just relax and get almost in this transcendental, ethereal, out-of-the-body experience and allow the Spirit of God to come out, you won't understand what you're saying, but that's the Holy Spirit. Do you recognize that to even quote that scripture defies what it says? If it were the Spirit, it says it cannot be uttered. So why are you uttering? Why are you talking like that? Why? Because it said, the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that means even if I believe that this scripture contradicts that kind of practice. But additional to that, it says here that the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, not through us. You see, there's a difference. The Spirit of the Lord is not making intercession through us as I pray, but He's working for us. So this scripture, again, if you understand the truth of prayer, folks, you can understand the counterfeit. And this practice has deceived millions of people. And it is one of the greatest detriments in the Christian world today, and one of the great, I mentioned maybe Wednesday night, but I have found no other topic to get people upset when I have done ministers' meetings, people, different areas in the world, more than this subject right here. You can talk about other doctrines that they may not agree with, and they'll still have a smile on your face, but you begin to get on to how to pray in what true Bible tongues is, which is the gift of God to speak a foreign language to communicate. You want to see people get roused up. We need to know what the truth is. They will practically actually tell you, shut out, distance the mind from the body. Put a distance there and just let it come out. Folks, it's not of God. One of the other scriptures that is used so frequently in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, though I speak with what? You children know this chapter. With the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Say, Brother Michael, there you go. The tongues of angels. The word though in the Greek, it means, denotes uncertainty. And many times in the scripture, it is better translated as if. So let's read what he says. If I speak with the tongues of men, and if I speak with the tongues of angels, if I give my body to be burned, if I give all my goods to the poor, I have a question. Did Paul give his body to be burned? Come on now, I know you know the answer to this one. Did Paul give his body to be burned? Did Paul sell all he have and give it all to the poor? Did Paul speak in all the languages of this world? The answer is no. He was making a conditional statement to make a point that the greatest virtue that you can have is love. If I were to do all of these things, if I spoke in all the languages of this world, it still doesn't profit me anything if I don't have love. If I spoke with the tongue of angels, my opinion and my understanding of speaking with angels, Paul was someone, he possibly had a speech impediment. He said, I came not unto you with what? With excellency of speech, but a fervency of spirit and a demonstration of power. Paul told the church at Corinth, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. The thorn in the flesh, I don't know what it was. Some have speculated that maybe it was a little issue with his speaking. I didn't come with excellency of speech. He was a very educated man. Paul knew more languages, he told the church at Corinth. I speak in more tongues than you all. If there is one angelic language that God understands, why would you pluralize it? I speak in more tongues. The word glossa is used for tongues, which means language. I speak in more languages than everybody here. Because he was an educated man. He was learned. But yet, he said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, speaking of something exalted, if I were fluent, and I could speak with eloquence, but I didn't have love, my eloquence wouldn't profit anything. We understand this morning? But in addition to that, even if it were a spiritual language, this is my question. If it were really the tongue of an angel, what language do they speak? So where do we turn for our example? The Word of God. Is not that where we should turn? So let's look and see what language the angel spoke in the Scripture. When the angel came and spoke to Zacharias at the temple, what language did he speak in? When the angel came and spoke to Mary, and the angel spoke to Joseph, and the angel spoke to all of these different ones, and when the angel came and spoke to the shepherds, when the angel came and talked to Paul and Silas, what language did they speak? They spoke the language of the hearer. So though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I believe though I speak with eloquence lifted up above the way most people speak, that's what I believe it means. But even if it didn't, what is the language of angels? It's not something that we speak down here. It's not scriptural. There is no scriptural foundation for speaking ecstatically or praying with nonsensical expressions coming out of our mouth. There's no Bible for it. Over in 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter, and Lord willing, in our Bible study, we will deal more in depth with this path, with this chapter. But I want to read a couple of verses to you this morning. 1 Corinthians 14:14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. One of the most, I believe that this scripture right here is probably at the crux of a lot of the false doctrine that's out there. But I want us to understand something. Praying ecstatically, nonsensically, bypassing the intellect to have utterances come out was in practice well before the Holy Spirit came. The pagans practiced it. They spoke with the jibber-jabber. They spoke in tongues, nonsensical tongues, and called on someone to translate for them well before the time of the Holy Spirit. And if pagans and atheists and all of the other denominations of so-called professing Christianity can have the same experience and they call it Holy Spirit baptism, how can the atheist do it? How can the pagan do it? It's not the Holy Spirit, it's a false spirit that's evident. This morning I want to remind us again, you want to make contact with God, humble your heart. You want to make contact with God, don't come with all of your goodness, but come as an unprofitable servant and say, Lord, I need you desperately. God understands that language, folks. So what do we do with this verse? Because my understanding's unfruitful. That's what you said they teach you how to pray, the tongues movement. Unknown is in italics if you'll look in your Bible. The translators were actually trying to do us a service to understand what was being said. The devil kind of took that thing and perverted it. If a word is in italics in the King James Version, it means it was added by the translators in the hope that they could clarify. This was an unknown tongue. Tongue there in the Greek is glossa, which means foreign language. The same word that was used on the day of Pentecost to talk about speaking a human language that was a foreign language to the hearers. Same word. It wasn't a different word. So they were saying it was an unknown foreign language to who? To the hearers. But it says here, Brother Michael, that my spirit's praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. Again, remember, when you study the word, you need to take it in context. So let's read on. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with what? The understanding. Anybody that teaches that you pray in a way that you don't understand, folks, is a false doctrine. It's not of the Lord. He said, I will sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding. And then he clarified it even more. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, when you're praying, he's talking about, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest? Isn't that clear? Who doesn't understand? Who did Paul say didn't understand the prayer? Yeah, the unlearned. So if I'm educated, then I understand. Because I understand that language. I know some of you all children here, you don't want me talking and speaking in Spanish, preaching in Spanish from up here, remember? These children corrected me. I started saying things I thought I was saying something a little different than that. Because I don't know the language well enough. But if I were educated and knew Spanish fluently, then I could pray in that, and everybody that understood Spanish would be able to say amen. But if I begin to pray in Latin here, y'all would look at me like I was crazy, wouldn't you? You'd look at me like, you're a barbarian. Well, Paul addressed that too. You pray in a language or speak in a language people don't understand. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. And so he said, pray with the understanding. Pray that people would be edified in the congregation. And some say, well, that's why it belongs in a private prayer life. Where is that in the Scripture? It's not there. When you pray, pray with the understanding, and your understanding, though, is unfruitful. Unfruitful to who? Everybody that doesn't understand the language. That's what he said. The devil has tried to make people think this passage is complicated. That's what the enemy has done. The Scripture's clear here. Pray with the understanding. Try to wrap this up shortly. There is... Jesus taught us to pray, did He not? You see how though this passage has been perverted? It's unknown and it's unfruitful to your understanding. No, just read the next couple verses. And He said your foreign language is, people aren't edified. Have you all ever heard someone pray in a language you didn't know? I feel a little funny. I'll just acknowledge. So I'm praying in English. But I've been places, you know, there people come forward to pray and so we go down to pray together and someone takes off in their foreign language, in Twi or Chichewa or Swahili or language of Pakistan, or Urdu. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, do I say amen? I can't even say amen because I don't know what they're saying. And so I'm praying myself, Lord, and I go ahead and pray in English. Do you know the Lord understands all those languages? But to the one listening, I don't know what they're saying, so I'm not really being edified by their prayer. That's what Paul was talking about here. Well, Jesus taught us to pray. And let's turn and read what He said, because should not Jesus be our example? Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as who? As the heathen do. Some places teach you to just, again, relax, open up, and anyway, let it go, whatever comes out. Not scriptural, but other people will teach you, if this is a gift, then why do I have to learn it? You can go to classes to learn how to pray in tongues. If it is a divine gift of God, it ought to be something that just happens. But if it just happens and I start praying in gibberish, I also know that contradicts the Word of God. Because it's not with the understanding. So folks, that doctrine contradicts the Word of God on multiple places, in multiple ways. If I saw the fruit of holiness coming out of it, I might say, okay, now I can look at the Word of God and I can see the fruit of it, and it is not from the Lord. And I have been accused of blaspheming the Holy Spirit because of that stand. And I will just say again, I stand so accused on the Word of God this morning. It's not of the Word of God. And if we ever begin to develop a doctrinal tolerance for that, we are opening the door to false doctrine and to foreign spirits. And we need to know what the Word of God teaches, not just because we say, well, we don't practice it. No, what does the Word of God say? This is our standard this morning, regardless of somebody's personal experience. This is the Word. So how do we pray? Jesus said, do not pray with vain repetition. Some places teach you to say the same words over and over and over until you almost transcend your thinking and something starts to come. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't pray with vain repetitions. And He also taught us in part, and I had a little prayer here. Prayer of the Muslims. O God, O God, O God, O God, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, O living immortal, O living immortal, O living immortal. And it goes on. You begin to start praying, it begin to start to... Jesus said, don't pray like you know, the 7-Eleven songs that are sung in many of the praise worship services today, it's got to be a second cousin to this thing. Say the same word, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, and begin to build the emotion. You get the musical instruments, the beating of the drums. Is God going to hear me now? The answer is no. God hears the prayer of the humble. Pray not with vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Maybe I can come with my burden. If I can just tell God the same thing over and over, maybe He'll get it. He got it the first time. He got it. If your heart was open to Him, He heard you. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have before you ask. After this manner, therefore pray. After this manner. I don't want to be sacrilegious. I could demonstrate how some people would try to tell you to pray. I won't do it. I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus said, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Is that hard to understand? It's simple. It's plain. Do you know we could take the Lord's Prayer and we could say it over and over and over and it would become the very thing that Jesus told us not to do? That's the danger of recipe prayers. You know, it's easier to talk about the children, but have you ever, you know, when you get down for that, Brother Randy mentioned, was it the 7-Eleven prayer? You know, you get down, or the microwave prayer maybe. You get down, you're in a rush, and I can tell you what you're going to say. I mean, you can, if you hear someone pray, you can almost recite it for them. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Please help the sick and the unsaved. Help all those that are sick and afflicted. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can almost just recite it with them. But when we pray in the Spirit, it partly means as well that it's not a recipe. It's not a form, but it's heartfelt. That, Lord, I am entering into the presence of God, praying with sincerity and with simplicity. And, Lord, I want you to hear my prayer. There's much more that could be said here, but I do want to add one other little thing for your information this morning. You know prayer beads? You ever seen prayer beads? I want to caution you about that. You know why? The word bead actually in Old English means prayer. The word that means prayer. And these were being used as well way, way back. The Hindus use them. The Buddhists use them. Catholics use them. Muslims use them. There's all kinds of different churches and denominations and religions that use them. They are used for the purpose of repetitive prayer. Counting the prayers. So every time you say a prayer, you can just almost without thinking about it, move a bead, slide a bead down, say another prayer, slide another bead, say another prayer, slide another bead. Is that helpful? Is that going to really get us through to the Father? Because when I pray through my rosary, I can then say, I've done my job. I prayed so many prayers. It wasn't by your much speaking. It wasn't by saying the same thing over and over. But prayer, folks, the language of prayer that God understands is when you open up our heart in faith, in simplicity before the Lord. Let's not be deceived this morning. Let's not be deceived by false doctrine of prayer. But let's be grateful this morning that when we have needs, we can come with assurance to the throne of grace and we can find help. We can find mercy and help in time of need. And men ought always to what? Ought always to pray. See, it's not just the words that come out of our mouth, but it's the condition of our heart that is communion with God. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen.